off at 11 o'clock. Sorry if we don't make it. Anyway, unstoppable self-confidence. As I told you earlier, it's risen high on my list of the top books I've ever read. There's still some things that obviously anytime I read a book, there's some things that I don't necessarily agree with. But for the most part, this guy has got phenomenal content. And you can tell he dedicated his life to write this book and interview lots of people and put a lot of great thoughts together. So let's jump in and talk about unstoppable self-confidence. Because how tremendous is self-confidence as a cornerstone to your life makes all the difference in the world. And that's why he calls it the superpower. Okay, so we're going to go through step three and step four. Last week we went through step one, step two out of the book, and now we're doing three and four, and then we'll be done with the book. And so we're talking about installing that mindset of the 1%, because remember how he took out society. He says 99% of the people in our country go in the world are chasing dollars, chasing this, chasing, and then there's the 1% that just live it every day. It just is part of their beingness and how they live every single day. So it's about how to have the mindset of that 1% where you're really at peace and joy. That doesn't mean you stop going after things and creating greatness in your life, but you just have so much self-confidence that whatever you grab onto, you can create. And that's a wonderful place to be. So reclaim your superpower. You are a superpower pretending to be an ordinary person. We all are powerful beyond our imagination. Open your mind to what's only possible, what's probable when you get your thinking right, because truly mindset makes all the difference in the world, all the difference. Daydream on who you could become, your grandest visions you had about yourself and your life. Notice had, because we all have had visions of our life. And that doesn't mean, you know, some of you go right away and say, oh, Mary Jo, if I start thinking about what I dreamt of, and I'm just going to beat up on myself and I'm a loser. You are not a loser. That's horrible thinking. Every experience we've had in life creates the greatness of who we become. So you just need to convert that thinking about events in your life. So whenever you start falling back into the loser, loser, loser thing, I'm telling you, go back into that two-step process. I think it's brilliant. Spend 15 seconds focusing on an incredibly positive time in your life. Everybody has an incredibly positive time in your life. Some of us can think of hundreds of them because we've already learned this process just by common sense, that we focus on the greatness around us and the greatness in our lives. We don't focus on the negatives. We learn from the negatives, focus on the greatness. So spend 15 seconds focusing on something incredibly positive in time in your life, whenever that is, whatever you pick out, and then 15 seconds on what's called no mind. It's just blank slate. Because controlling your mind is critical. Otherwise, you're giving control over to something else. And then you're just playing a game of no win. Can't win that game. Somebody else is controlling. So take back control of your mind. Two-step process. 15 seconds focusing on something incredible positive. Some of you can only last 2 seconds, but work on it. Get it up to 15 seconds. And then 15 seconds on just blank slate. No thoughts. Just blanking out your mind. You're not capable of having a dream or desire that you're not capable of achieving. That's a great quote. Some of you guys should put that on your, you just plaster it somewhere in your house. What truly controls your life is your mind, so by allowing that to run free, you're never able to create what you choose, right? You let thoughts just wander in and out. It's like they come visit. It's like you have this 24/7 hotel. It's called your head, and you have all the doors open and closed, and everything comes in. You're just letting all these other things into your head. And it's awful how we allow those thoughts in our head. Change your thinking, change your life. And your ego is a problem. Why? Our ego is our enemy. I never looked at it that way before because ego can be so powerful. But ego tends to tell you why you're so bad, and it just beats up on you because you had this vision of who you were going to be or what you can be, and all of a sudden your ego gets in the way, and then you take out a hammer and start beating up on yourself because your ego is telling you you failed because you didn't create all the greatness that you thought you had, right? There are thoughts that cause pain, make us feel bad, block our success from coming. Let it go. and get rid of these words out of your vocabulary. Should have, would have, could have. They don't exist. They're non-existent. They're worthless. They're victim language. Should have, would have, could have, you're going victim. So throw victim language out. There's nothing wrong with you, and there never was. You don't need fixing. All of those limits, I'm not good enough, not capable, and not deserving, not being the person, is not who you really are. And you know that inherently. You know that. Your limits are a result of all the layers of bad teaching, muddled thinking, stifling, limited social thinking, bad undermining thoughts, mostly associated to us through society, through friends, through family, through parents, through brothers, sisters, through bosses, through other influences in our life. And you just choose out of it. Because all it's done is allowed you to think small and play small, to give up, to play a lifetime of seeking approval. Blah, go throw up on that one. So quit living someone else's blueprint and wasting your precious time. Next point, build a strong default state. It only works if you maintain your chosen mindset every day. So choose the mindset you want. And what is that mindset? A mindset of success, a mindset of creation. You need to unlearn layers of limited thinking, limited patterns that work against your confidence. Think of it like your human body. Do you take a shower every day? Do you get off all that stench that you collect for the day before? Of course, we take a shower every morning, right, to get back in the original clean state. It's the same way with the brain. Same way with the brain. If you can wash on the outside, wash on the inside. He uses, every morning, he spends 5 minutes in bed thinking of what he's grateful for. This is a great routine. You guys can adopt this. It would change your life. 5 minutes in bed thinking of what am I grateful for? First thoughts are calm, grateful, and happy. See abundance, your very first thing in the morning. Then as you shower, start daydreaming on what you want. As you get dressed and eat breakfast, back to adding to your gratitude. As you see ego enters in of what you should have, could have, would have, blah, 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 how greatness of you are and all the things you didn't accomplish. Don't fight it because that gives it power. Observe it and be aware of it and aware that it's robbing itself of power as you're aware of it. And you can kind of laugh at it. Whenever you feel bad, go back to positive thoughts. 15 seconds, right? A great event in your life, and then no mind. 15 seconds, blank slate. Before you go to bed at night, bring in no mind. Quiet the mind and bring in what am I grateful for? Really, people, controlling your own mind, crucial. Let go of all judgment, fighting, and resistance. The quality of your thinking controls the quality of your life. Have a healthy routine, and some of us need a lot of discipline to control that mind. And I love that book, As a Man Thinketh, So Is He, right? It's a great book. Our frustration is not what we don't know what to do, but rather we know and we still don't do it. You guys agree with that? We know what to do, just like in Manitech. We know exactly what to do, but we don't do it. Because if you were doing it, you'd be off the charts successful. Your default state needs to be powerful. What is yours? You work on your mindset every morning should be like brushing your teeth. Add it into your morning regimen. It's the most important part of your regimen. You can go without brushing your teeth. You can go without showering, but you can't go without cleansing the mind. Get your affirmations down, or affirmations. I prefer that with Noah St. John. I've trained on that, so you guys know it's asking questions, right? Asking your brain questions, your subconscious questions. Why is it that I can create a new leadership level by the end of this business period? Boom. It's a great question. Put that in your mindset. Ask that question. You'll get answers. I can create. Notice not, why is it that I can't, why is it that I'm such a dummy? Your mindset will answer that too. So don't go negative. Stay positive. So start every day with thoughts, what am I grateful for? What am I grateful for? First thoughts are calm, happy, grateful, seeing abundance in life. Ego is what causes your unhappiness. Because it gets back into, oh, I should have, could have, would have, or whatever. Remove those words from your vocabulary. Your subconscious is your power. Never go to bed without giving your subconscious a problem. It's a terrific concept. be the control of your thoughts. Your subconscious doesn't go to sleep at night. It stays awake throughout the whole night. It works all night long. That's why a lot of people put a problem in their head when they go to bed. They wake up with a solution. It's a great process. If you haven't done it, discipline yourself to start doing it. And don't call me on the third day and go, Mary Jo, it's not working. This is a discipline. And trust me, it works. I use it. You start acting for yourself and build the life you want instead of life that's cast upon you. You're no longer victim to the world. You're at choice. Thinking for yourself again. Choose to live the life the way you choose to live it. And another great quote at the end of that, listen to your intuition. It will tell you all you need to know. Anthony D'Angelo, it's great. That little voice inside you that says, yes, you can. Number two, the incredible power of authenticity. Authenticity. The privilege of a lifetime is to become who you really are. Fully authentic. When was the last time you were really you? How many of you really even know who the real you is? See, we become programmed by other people's rules, lies about us, experiences. When we can just choose who we are. There are a lot of confused people in this world. All you got to do is pick up a paper, listen to the news. Don't let other people program you. And where does the major programming come for a lot of us? Our parents. And you can really love your parents and honor them. I love my parents. I mean, I took care of them. I loved them. I just gave them my all. But did I disagree with them in many points? Oh, my gosh. Did I think they've raised me up well? Well, let's talk about the 1,000 mistakes or so, right? But did I think they did the best that they knew how to do? Absolutely. But the issue is that, you know, we are at choice around our truths. We're at choice. And we can still love people even though we can look back and say maybe they didn't really serve us in certain ways. But I didn't lose any love for my folks. I just understand that they did the best they could. Not very many people have 4 children in 3.5 years. That to me is like chaos. But it is what it is. And they dealt with it. I am. 2 of the most powerful words for what you put after them creates your reality. You get? I am. Finish that sentence. And you could put 12 different words. You could put 24, 36. Who are you? But don't confuse yourself. Just be really clear. Who are you? Take the time to define yourself. Not the ego, but truly you. Let the ego go. Don't let others choose for you either. I am. See what you have become, that truly astonishing person that you are. Success and confidence is achieved by realizing the incredible truth of who you are and in a calm, workmanlike way, changing your default setting back to your naturally confident and successful state. I love that quote. If you can't use that somewhere in your office, I don't know. I'm just highly suggesting you do, right? You're just understanding the truth of who we are. And don't expect it overnight because it took you years to rob yourself of that thought. So, but plaster it up there and start stepping into the truth that it is. The second part to create new rules is to create new rules, your code for life. And I attached it for you right out of his book, 1 through 24. And you can go and dig through those and see which ones you feel most confident and comfortable with. But if you feel uncomfortable with some, I really want you to challenge yourself to find out, why am I feeling uncomfortable about this one? And who's controlling my thoughts to make me feel that way? Is that me or is it something else? Choose rules that serve you. You have been living by other people's rules probably your entire life. Now, are some of those rules good? Well, I grew up in a biblical family, and I love the Bible, and I love my relationship with the Lord, but everybody's different. We're all created differently, and we all are at choice to choose who we follow. But make sure you understand that this is a choice you've made for you on the rules that will serve you, and be really clear with them. Living authentically is to act with complete integrity. When you lie to someone, including who's the one we lie to the most? Ourselves. You're telling yourself you can't handle the truth. When you lie to somebody else, you're saying you can't handle the truth. When you lie to, I mean, it's others, you're telling them they can't handle the truth. It's very disrespectful and patronizing. In fact, I remember, you guys maybe remember this movie, You Can't Handle the Truth, Jack Nicholson in A Few Good Men. Do you guys remember that movie? I just brought that up in my head. He said that over and over. He screamed at the lawyer that was challenging him. Right? You can't handle the truth. Trust me. You're showing total disrespect and very patronizing when you suggest that. Integrity and honesty are the meta values. Integrity and honesty, meta values. They are the top of the heap. Foundational stone for all other values we have. The 1% who live their lives on their terms embrace truth in every aspect of their lives. True. Truth. Honesty is more than not lying. I love this quote by James House. It is truth-telling, truth-speaking, truth-living, and truth-loving. Some of us feel like we're very honest, but are we living truth? Are we speaking truth? Are we loving truth every day? Is that what goes on in our lives? And then look at yourself and say, am I living truth of who I am, the best version of me, or have I sold myself short? That's a very good thing to journal on. The Incredible Power of Authenticity, Part 2. Marianne Williamson, one of my favorite quotes. I love that, right? It's, we ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, and fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be those things? Your playing small doesn't serve the world. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. As we let our own light shine, we're unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fears, our presence automatically liberates others. So know that you stay stuck in fear and I'm not enough and all this negative thinking. You are robbing other people every day of your life because you're giving them permission to live life small. Choose to be a beacon of light. We need a lot of that, especially in the times we're going through now. So quit robbing the world. Modesty is one thing. So it's not about being an egomaniac. That's not what he's saying here. But playing small so you don't overpower others is another. Play big. You can play big without putting others down. You get this? Some people, oh, yeah, well, you play so big, you put out. No. You help people believe in themselves that they can also play big. So get the ego again gets out of the way. I can do this. You can't. I'm the leader. I'm a leader. I'm a leader. I get up every morning and I get out of bed. I go, I'm a leader. I'm a leader. I'm a leader. I love it. I'm a leader. I'm a leader. I'm a leader. I don't want to be a follower. God's given me too many talents to go out there and just be kind of stand behind the scenes. And each and every one of you are leaders. We lead in hundreds of ways. Some of them are ways we don't want to be leading in. So take a viewpoint of your life and look at where am I being a leader and I don't really want to have people follow me in those ways and make a shift. How easily do you see good in yourself? Most just see the negative, right? We pound, we get the hammer out every morning. Oh, I'm a failure. I didn't get the work done I committed to yesterday. I didn't get new people into my business. We just go into condemnation. Stop it. That's when you got to stop that brain, that ego. Start thinking about something incredibly positive in your life. Erase all that negativity. And then just lock down that brain. You have control over it, but you have to grab onto that control. putting yourself first is not saying you don't care about other people. It's just saying you are smart enough to know if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be any good to other people. It's kind of like when you're flying in an airplane. You guys, how many of us remember flying in airplanes, right? I mean, I used to fly all the time. I've been grounded for 2 months. So anyway, when we fly an airplane, what's the first thing when they announce? They go, for you with children, make sure that when it masks them down, you put who's on first? Yours on first. You can't help another person if you don't have the oxygen you need. So take care of yourself first or you'll be no good to others. How do you rate your relationship with yourself? That's a good question. Circle that on the outline and answer it to yourself. Do you love yourself? We think that's conceit, and that's the biggest lie. Notice how your ego reacts against what I say about me. Start building that list of me. Who am I? The greatness of who I am. So, and Lydia copied, I think at the back pages, you're going to see page 297 through 99. Did we copy those at the back?
No, we didn't.
Oh, we didn't put it. 297 to 99. Oh, good. So I was just going to look at those pages to talk to you a little bit. So, again, if you don't have the book, I recommend you get it. It'll, of course, you have my outline. So you have a. But in his book, he just goes. He just talks about on 297, 98, 99. He just talks about who am I. You know, and he writes down. He just tells us to write down who are you. Notice what you think when you say the same things about you. He says, he talks about, I absolutely love being me. I wouldn't want to be anyone else ever. If I could somehow go back in time before I was born and choose to be anyone, I would without question, without hesitation, choose to be me again. I don't simply love being me. I love the person I am. I'm awesome. I'm incredibly kind, clever, decent, funny, insightful, charming, and I love the fact that I always have a cheeky reply or answer for anything people say to me. He goes on and on and on, two pages. Write that about yourself. Loving yourself is not vanity, it is sanity. It's taking back control of your mind. How do you love others if you don't love yourself? You see what happens if we don't love ourselves? Then we're needy. And we get involved in relationships where we have to get. We want to take from another person to feel good about ourselves because we don't love ourselves. So how are you going to contribute in that relationship when you're all about filling you instead of filling the other person? Self-love, you now can give more love to the world. Becoming the best you is the greatest gift you can give this world. Number four, the carefree operating system. Being free brings a lightness, a carefree surrender to all that is happening around you and above you, an acceptance of reality. Deepak Chopra, great, right? Carefree people have a wonderful energy. They have not just self-confidence, but confidence about life. They have this incredible calmness, kind of serenity about them. They too have problems, but they recognize one thing. What? They're bigger than the problem. And it doesn't mean that you have apathy. But it's just you're not attached. I desire things, but I don't need things. Forcing life, I work in harmony with life. And through that, I can truly live my best life. Everything that happens in your life happens perfectly in order for you and everyone involved with you to grow exactly in the way you've needed and wanted to grow. So this gets into looking at hardships. Lyd, did you print something for me? Oh, yeah, getting to deal with hardships, right? Because we all deal with hardships in our life. Do bad things happen to good people all the time, right? We can look around and we can say, what happens to us? And it doesn't mean that we don't care. we're just not attached. So again, read that quote again. Everything that happens in your life happens perfectly in order for you and everyone involved with you to grow exactly in the way you've needed and wanted to grow. Attachment and need come from thinking that things have to work out a certain way. So Andrew, in his book, he talked about his divorce. He said, if it never would have happened, then his life would not have entered into his journey to actually go out and pursue for months in research, collecting data, and writing this book that came out of his pain. Everything works out of the best, even though it looks like the very worst thing to happen to you. So I want to share with you a text message I got yesterday. A lot of you know my story in my life that 20 years ago, my brother was shot and killed by his wife. A lot of you know that because you've been in Manitech with me that many years. My brother was like Jesus walking on earth. He was some like, he would come up to you on the street and he would say, how are you? Whether he knew you or not, he couldn't say, hey man, how are you? That wasn't my brother Cliff. He cared and loved about each and every soul that inhabited this earth. And he poured into people. And he had two beautiful children, a son and a daughter. And when his wife shot and killed him out of crazy, and I won't get into specifics and all that, but you talk about a disaster in your life. And if somebody would have told me it's exactly what you needed in your life, Mary Jo, I would have started a fight. Because all we do is we suffer from loss, and we come from this feeling that the world's at an end. And it's so horrific. How can things be better? And you just get into this loss. You just get lost in the pain and the agony. And of course, we also, those of us that have a Christian walk, we get angry with God. And that's okay. He wants us to show emotion. Nowhere does he tell us not to get angry. Said, be angry, but do not sin. But I got angry with him. Why did he let it happen? Why did he do this? I mean, I cried out. I screamed. I yelled. I got emotionally drained for 4 or 5 hours the night I found out. And, of course, the next day I got up and started planning everything because I was knew I needed to take charge. My parents were in their 70s, or you know, close to 80, and my brother and sister, other ones, were more eggheads, but enough of the surrounding story. I knew immediately Mary Jo was going to be taking charge. So I flew out to Mammoth Lakes, and I basically over the next, you know, handled everything out there, took care of all the funeral arrangements, all the stuff, went back at the end of the school year after I got the kids in with close friends to let them finish out the last month of their school year, drove them back and raised them as if they were my own. And I made it clear, I will always be auntie. I will raise you and have you in my life for the rest of your lives as if I birthed you, but I will never be your mom. I will always be your aunt. So I'm just going to share with you. These kids are now, this is 20 years later, they're college graduates, great jobs, family, right? And here's from my nephew David from California. He says, happy Mother's Day, Auntie. Thanks for being such an integral part of my life and such a wonderful blessing and influential opportunity provider. You like that word? Influential opportunity provider. I'm sure your brother, this is how he refers to his dad, I'm sure your brother is smiling, thankful for the peace, comfort, encouragement, and support you provided for his kids to grow into happy, thriving adults. God is good. To be able to spend today with my family, celebrating my wife, the mother of my two beautiful sons, I am very aware and grateful for how incredibly blessed I am as a husband and a dad. And I know that I wouldn't be in this position without your amazing God-centered influence and the love and support you poured into me. Thank you. I tell you this story because it's exactly what's going on in this book. You know, we see crises and we get caught up in crises and we allow them to control our lives and we think of how bad it is and we think about all the negative when every single crisis creates an incredible opportunity. And we may not see it because our humanness loves to take control and we love to whine and complain and get grief stricken. We can even do it around Manatech and the management and silly things that we see them do and all sorts of things in the company. But the reality is that every single thing presents us an opportunity. We can shine through it all, just as I did with my brother. I knew immediately what my role would be. And it was unbelievable gift in my life. So where do we go astray when bad things happen? Because we know bad things are going to happen. To grab onto them and make the best out of them. So everything works out of the best, even though it looks like the very worst thing to happen to you. Totally agree. Some people say we make lemonade out of lemons, right? Yeah. So no longer fear of this. So when you understand that and you grasp it and you control it and you allow your mind to control you and your behavior and allow your choices and to step into things where you can be powerful beyond measure, guess what? We no longer have a fear that bad things will happen. I no longer have a fear. One of my grandchildren at 4 years old died in a swimming pool, drowned in a swimming pool accident, and I got to step in and be powerful beyond measure. In the hospital that night, the next day, taking the kids, the other two children, the next week for a number of days to spend time with them and just take them to a Ranger game and do different things to help them heal. These things, but you can be powerful in all of those events. Challenges are just situations to deal with and overcome and create yet another victory. So learn how to eat challenges for lunch. Five-step process to deal with any challenges. Slow down. Here you go. Here's your five steps that he gives in the book. Slow down. Calm your mind. Control your thoughts, not your ego. Number two, remind yourself of the truth. No matter what happens, you know life will work out for the best, and this is for your highest good. Number three, consider all the possible ways this could work out for the best for you and for others who are involved in the situation, like for me and my niece and nephew. Number four, decide what your desired outcome is. Acknowledging there may be others that happen, but get clear on what you desire. And then consider all the options on creating that desired outcome and work to create them. Whew! You can conquer any challenge. We have unbelievable resiliency, but we fall victim to what society tells us to do and what people around us tell us, right? We fall victim to that. So stop it. It's your choice. You choose it. Three things you need to acknowledge. Your greatest power comes from surrender. Are we surrendering? It ain't what you don't know that gets you in trouble. It's what you know for sure that just ain't so. You relax into the uncertainty of life knowing it is nothing to fear, instead something to be enjoyed. It's an adventure. And that's how I look at every day, as an adventure. The transformative power of gratitude. If the only prayer you said in your whole life was thank you, that would be enough. Gratitude tops. So make a gratitude list. This is assignment for everybody, a gratitude list, and refer to it often. If you don't do it today, you will be unlikely to ever do it. So highlight that in your outline as a to-do on your to-do list. Why is it that we feel we should feel bad? Society gives us, you know, all the rules to live by. We also get into coulda, woulda, shoulda. Has a lot to do with it. And boy, did I play that out when my brother was shot and killed. I played that out. I played out all the things I could have done, all the things I should have done, all the things, how could I have prevented it? How could I? Oh, my goodness gracious, you would have thought my mind went into 25 different gyrations. But did it change the reality of where I was in that moment or the next moment or the next day or the next week? No. I couldn't change it. It doesn't mean we don't go through pain and suffering in the moment. And our brains logically go that direction. But then we step into the power that we've been given, the challenge, the gift, the two beautiful children I was gifted, right? We just, it's be gratitude, have gratitude. All things happen to grow from, not to feel bad about. The secret method for getting what you really want? Okay, move on. That was powerful. Sorry, you guys, if I got too emotional around it. But it's very, very powerful. It's the way I live my life every day of my life. The secret method for getting what you really want. Life punishes the vague wish and rewards that's the specific ask, right? Life punishes the vague wish and rewards the specific ask. So get that really clear. So what does that mean? It means get your desires clear. When you ask most people what they want most in life, their answers are typically incredibly vague. You're never going to create success if you are vague. I remember saying to myself when I was young and growing up in a family that was very poor, and I said, not for me. I'm going to become a multimillionaire. It was really clear. I didn't give myself an option. And it wasn't because I wanted the trappings of life. It's because I knew what I could do with it to change other people's lives. Whether it's Mission Field, my charitable foundation, my whatever. I mean, it just gave me a capacity to do so much more. So it was just a choice I made. But it was really clear, clarity. Stay out of vague. He highly recommends Andy Shaw's work, Life Design Workshop, so I put that in there so you could make a choice if you want to take that on. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination, telling you I can't even promote it myself because I haven't done it, but I'm just giving you a book review here. Don't go passive. To reach your goals, you need to actively go after them. So rely on the law of attraction, right? Then go passive. Avoid the trap. It takes work by you. So avoid the trap. And life is work, and the most work we do is the work we do on ourselves. Creating your life by design, natural goal setting. Give yourself complete freedom to choose what you truly want. Some of you can't even think about that because you have so many constraints in your brain. Well, I can never make that happen. I don't know how you can do that. Somebody told my mother said this, or my father said this, or my husband or this or that. We live in this. We live in this just total situation of we're trapped. Because, you know, somewhere we bought into it because it gave us a level of comfort. You know, there's nothing comfortable about comfort zones. You guys know that. But it is what it is, and that's what we've just accepted. But why are we giving up on what we really want? Completely let go of any sense of it being unrealistic. Steve Jobs was great when he said, the ones that are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones that actually go and do it. Forget about goal setting. You're designed your dream life. And he said, there's a life design process attached. We didn't attach it to the outline, right, Lydia?
Yeah.
Or did we? Oh, we did. 1 through 11? Okay, good. So that is attached to the outline. Recap of the life design process. So I've actually given you that right out of the book so you can go play with that. But not play from a perspective of think it's funny. Play with it from a perspective of commit to it. Number 6, how to live life on purpose. The purpose of life is to find your gifts. The meaning of life is to give it away. Wow. I love that. Of course, contribution is my number one core value, so I would thrive on that. The meaning of life is to give it away. Life falls in place when you live it on purpose. Mistake many make is tying it to money. You follow your life purpose and you'll attract all the wealth in the world. And that is so true. And it's not about chasing money. You know, when I said I want to be a multimillionaire, it wasn't because I wanted a lot of money. It was because of what I could do with it, how I could live my life with it, how I could be the, you know, the kind of giver and the kind of make a contribution and in my faith-based activities and everything else that I could participate in, and the freedom to go live my life and spend weeks in you know, all these different mission trips and visiting foreign countries. And I think we're up to like 32 now, but it's wonderful. Motivation is temporary. Inspiration lasts forever. So be inspired. Finding life purpose, Steve Jobs said, we are here to put a dent in the universe. Otherwise, why else even be here? So how are you changing the world? Defining what your purpose looks like, what your dream life looks like. Create a full list. Consider each item on the list. What would fit all things on your list? Allow the answer to emerge. Don't force it. And I love this quote by Michael Gerber. The difference between great people and everyone else is that great people create their lives actively, whilst everyone else is created by their lives, passively waiting to see where life takes them next. Are you being active or passive? Andrew Leadham said, the difference between the 1% who unleash that greatness and the 99% who waste it is choice. And one of my favorite self-development kings in the world who had phenomenal impact on my life, and many of you know him, Brian Clemmer. If there was one thing you could take away from Brian's teaching, it's live life at choice. And it's hard to do that when we have so many limiting beliefs that rob us of believing we even have a choice. Number 7, unleashing your natural abundance. Expect your every need to be met. Expect the answer to every problem. Expect abundance on every level. Expectations create results. Most people do not feel they deserve abundance. Oh, what is it? What abundance have to do with deserve? And then you start expecting lack because you have that negative programming in your head. You've allowed all of that instead of getting rid of it and getting back control of your mindset. You've allowed negativity to control it. The number one person you have the most unforgiveness over is you. So get over it. Forgive yourself. Let it go. All that junk is clogging up that incredible mind you have. Free yourself from it and move forward. It's always a challenge for me when I work with Christians and they tell me, and they're just beating up on themselves. And I'm like, looking at them like, you know, the number one thing we're supposed to do is be Christ-like, and Christ was a forgiving man. And you can't even forgive yourself, so please, please. What is all this about? You wallow in your sin and your self-righteousness and your, oh my gosh, it's unbelievable. We've all made mistakes in our life. Overcome them, move forward, instead of allowing them to be barriers in your life. Most people do not feel they deserve, they expect lack. They unconsciously program their subconscious minds to seek out lack. We even do that from a spiritual perspective. Sadness. When we think about all the greatness we can create with the gifts we have and the abundance we're capable of creating. Deprivation mindset will create lack. Abundance mindset will result in abundance. And that's not always financial abundance. Understand that as well. Direct and focus your mind and emotions on abundance, and you will create it. This is all truly spiritual, right out of the Bible. We don't see things as they are. We see things as we are. So we get in the way. Our egos only look at things a certain way, how we have trained it by our limited thinking. We only look at one side of the risk equation, never the full picture. Problematic how we shortchange ourselves. Number 8, the power of perspective. Nothing has any meaning in life except that which we give it. Tony Robbins. Perception is more important than reality. Totally agree with that. Each and every experience we have is mediated through our perception, the lens, the meaning we place upon these experiences. I mean, even when we look at the coronavirus and all the things happening around us in this day and age, the first thing I did out of the first couple of weeks was I was going, this is a phenomenal opportunity. It's a perfect storm being created. And I looked and built a website and built videos and did all sorts of massive work around that because it is the perfect opportunity. Do you know how many people, 20% of our population approximately, I think they said 17, 18%, but they're are unemployed today. What do you think you have in terms of an opportunity for people? It's a gigantic opportunity. But no, we rather wallow in the misery of what's around us. Perception is more important than reality. Change your perception. You're at choice. We get to put a meaning around our experiences. And when you fail, as I have, learn to fail forward. Your perspective creates your reality. First you make your beliefs, and then your beliefs create you. Incredible statement. Step four, living life on your terms. Let's finish it off with the last part of this book. The steps to become unstoppable, installing the right thinking. If you didn't get this throughout this whole book, it's all about controlling the mind, your mind. Your mind, instead of letting it drift and somebody else control it or the world around us or what's happening in your environment, you control it. It's why when somebody else came up to me, like I just had it happen a couple months ago, somebody said something to me that was kind of harsh and like attacked me, somebody in Manatech. And when they were all done with it all, of course, they had to copy everybody else in the world around it. And I sent back a note saying, thank you for your feedback. Unstoppable doesn't allow other people to creep in your head and make you miserable just because they have an agenda. Learn from the experience, move on. No one else can define you, you define yourself. Now, if you give somebody else power over you, hello. We have the responsibility to become the best you. In every relationship, you can always be on a path of improvement. It should be of in your outline typo, so correct that, a path of improvement. So why are you not? Why have you sold out? Operate from the best version of yourself, and you will unleash the greatness of that relationship. Einstein's incredible insight, no problem can be solved from the same level of consciousness that caused it. So if you have a problem and you don't know how to solve it, what's your best bet? I always tell people, surround yourself with people that you honor and respect, that are smarter than you are, that have had more experience than you are. Give people a call. The people that intimidate the heck out of you, call them up on the phone. And say, you know what, I really admired you, blah, blah, blah. Could I just ask you a simple question? They love to give feedback. But no, we try to solve the problem on our own. If you use the same thinking to solve the problem that created the problem, what do you think you're going to get? Another problem, just like the last one. We want to grow as people, so look to grow. There's no shame in growing. And we truly become our own potential. We can talk about Manatech and the shift in Manatech. We no longer are trying to cure disease. We have instead created incredible awareness on choosing wellness. What a blessing that is. We're at choice around wellness. The shorter time between making a decision and acting upon it, the greater your chance of success. That's called momentum, right? Ready, fire, aim. In other words, take action. Ready, fire, aim, not ready, aim, fire. Requires that you're willing to be a beginner. Quit worrying about being the expert. Deciding not to get started because you don't know enough, you aren't enough, you don't have enough. Oh, my gosh, blah, blah, blah. It only guarantees you'll never become an expert. We become an expert by doing. The size of our success is measured by the strength of your desire, the size of your dream, and how you handle disappointment along the way. Huge, Robert Kiyosaki. Here are a few very powerful thought structures because your ego will catch you off guard and will work on trying to change your thinking. You're going to reverse it that we just need to have awareness over our loser thinking. So we talk about a detach and observe. So when somebody else gets you off balance, stop, get back and control your mind. Jump right in, two-step process. Remember, 15 seconds on a greatness in my life and 15 seconds on no mind. And then come from gratitude. You're just facing a situation you need to deal with. Number two, expect problems to resolve themselves, shifting your mind from doubt to certainty. I always expect problems to resolve themselves. Some of you look at a problem and all you see is how it's going to blow up into a monster World War III. You see the coronavirus and you think the world's coming to an end. I look at it and see massive opportunity. You have hidden talents, strengths, resilience, and genius. Adversity reveals these talents. Comfortable ease hides them away and they atrophy. So each day make the effort to be a little better than the last. Can we all agree to do that? Ego does get in the way and stops us from being our best. So what will you do now? You have to build systems to protect against your lesser self. Consistently be mindful to protect against I'm not enough syndrome. Go back to the, remember the exercise, 15-15 gratitude. That's what I call it, 1, 2, 3, 15-15 gratitude. Stay in reading positive books, positive affirmations. If you like Noah St. John, that's my favorite. I like his affirmations because affirmations never did anything for me in my life. We will need a routine until it becomes second nature. So set reminders on your phone, on your computer, habits you never vary from, reinstating all these powerful habits to allow you to live your life to its fullest. These are like brushing your teeth. You do them the rest of your life. Okay, that's it. The book. Any comments, questions? Take yourself off mute. How many felt some things about themselves going over this book? Did you relate?
Mary Jo?
Uh-huh.
This is Chris Knight. Hi. This was...
How are you, Chris?
I'm super fabulous, and this was emotional. This was powerful. This was pretty earth-shattering for me. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate it and appreciate you and all you and Lydia do for us.
Thanks.
Thank you again.
Thanks, Chris. Love you. Sending you good
Love
vibes.
You.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you. Love you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Well?
Go ahead.
I say ladies first. Okay, who is it? I heard a woman's
that
voice.
That was Jo Ellen.
Hi, Jo Ellen.
Hey, I wanted to ditto what Chris Knight said. That's very perfect for a time such as this, as they say.
Yeah.
And it brought up a lot of, telling your story brought up a lot of the issues that have happened in my life and the challenges and the friends around me that go to the negative and how to hold that activity of holding it. I think that's really going to be very helpful with the three rules. So thank you. I'm
you
looking
bet.
Forward. I ordered the book as you were talking.
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, it highly climbed up to be probably in the top 10 most impactful books in my life.
I can see why. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
You bet.
Thank you so much, Mary Jo. It's Dave.
Hey, Dave.
And thank you for sharing personally again. The Manatech world is an amazing world, and it's we're so blessed to have you and what you do for everyone in the world.
Wow.
Truly thankful. And
we're blessed to have you, Dave, just so you know.
Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, everybody, have a great week. Oh, I know some of you are going, Mary Jo, I'm in tears, I'm emotional, I'm a train wreck. Great. I'm prayerful that you are there because you are meant to seek this out. You are meant to use this moment and this time in your life to start digging and say, and it's not about getting the hammer out and beating up on yourself. It's about really focusing on the greatness inside of you. And moving forward, self-forgiveness is gigantic. So start with that. Put it behind you. Look at the mirror and love that person because you have unbelievable capacity to create what you choose. And it's time we move forward. Amen to that, right? Okay, everybody, have a great week. See you next Monday.